13 on page 5 of the Pew Bible. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" This is the word of the Lord.
"What have you done?" said God to the woman. "What have you done?" I sometimes say that to my wife, but it's normally me that's done it, of course. As it's Mothering Sunday, I thought it'd be good to talk about relationships. We all have them, you know, mums, dads, sons, daughters, parents, those whom we work with, people at church, and let's hold the popcorn. I'm going to say a few words, so before the popcorn, we'll have the popcorn with the film. Yeah, we've got people that we work with, people at church. You know, some relationships can be close, some can be distant, some are good, some are bad, some are quite tense, some are loving. Now, we believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't just create. And love is about relationships. So God created everything out of nothing, and that's the story that I guess comes before the bit we've just read in Genesis. And of course, it all started off very well. It was good. In fact, God said it was very good. And the people were close to God. It talks about, you know, God walking with the people in the garden, that sort of sense of intimacy, that sense of closeness. But what started off very good soon sort of broke down. And Patrick read the account of those relationships that went wrong. You know, with God, we decided that we'd go our own way. You know, God said, "You mustn't do something," but we went away and did it anyway. We broke that relationship with each other. You know, Adam blamed Eve for the decision that he made to disobey God. And it said in verse 12, the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." So there started to be an enmity between people, between men and women. Even within ourselves, even our relationship with ourselves, you know, that became broken or tainted when we became ashamed of who we were. You know, Adam said, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." But even when we abandoned God and chose our own way, even when we disobeyed God and rejected him, he still reached out to us. "Where are you?" God said. "Where are you?" God reaching out. And God wants those broken relationships restored. And we've got God wants that reconciliation with us. And that's the whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we believe in, that the relationships that are broken, God wants to be restored. And I've added two on the end that I didn't delete in time. But, you know, one of the God's curses was that we would have to work the land in order to eat. And it wasn't easy to grow plants in order to eat. And because I love economics, I put resources as well. you know, we can exploit people for the gain of profit, and people want to hoard things. So the gospel is the story of how God has restored those broken relationships and how Jesus has reconciled all things to himself. So what story, some of you may be wondering, encapsulates these things which I'm speaking of? Now, I've seen a film that's become very familiar to me because I've seen it lots of times. It's a story of a gift that was given but was not received with joy, and the world became cold and dark, and in the aftermath of death, separation and deceit, where hope was lost, the sacrifice of one person brings reconciliation and new life. Now, could that be the story of Jesus himself, Jesus of Nazareth maybe, or even The Passion by Mel Gibson? No. I'm, of course, talking about the world-famous, double Oscar-winning story of Anna and Elsa of the Kingdom of Arendelle, the film we know as Frozen. I've got two little girls, the older one who's 4. She loves Frozen, so I've come to love Frozen as well. So let's have the next PowerPoint. Let's introduce the characters. That's Anna. She's the younger sister. There's two princesses. The king and queen die soon into the film, and Anna is the younger princess. And next we have Hans. He's a warning to all young girls. Starts off Prince Charming, ends up being a bit dastardly and evil, not to be trusted. He's actually the 13th son in a kingdom, so he's never going to be king. And that's Christoph, who's a guy that cuts ice and sells ice, which, of course, in a land of frozen ice and snow is not the great business to be in. So he's got a trusted friend called Sven. He's a reindeer. He's great. He's like sort of Christoph's best friend. And who have we got next? Oh, Olaf, the snowman who comes to life. He's great as well. He's great. Let's have the next one. Oh, and that's Elsa. That's my little girl. No, that's Elsa on her birthday. And you can see in the foreground a cake that's frozen as well. Frozen cake. Let's have the next one. Oh, that's Elsa playing the keyboard on this very stage. Can the real Elsa please stand up? And let's have the next one. Oh, that is the real Elsa. So that is the real Elsa, who's the older sister, who eventually becomes queen. So let's... Now, I'm not suggesting any of these characters are like Jesus. So please don't think, oh, is Elsa Jesus, or is Anna the Holy Spirit, or any nonsense like that. I'm not suggesting anything like that. Elsa's, or Hans, he's not the devil, or Christoph's not John or Peter or anything like that. But what I do want to do is draw out some themes. So are we ready for the first clip? So this is how it all starts. And they grow up to become teenagers and young women, not really knowing each other. And that's not very nice. So something which brought joy, i.e. the ice powers, she was able to control it through the love that she had. But of course, when something bad happened, it became spoiled and caused separation between those who were meant to be together. So the two sisters, Anna and Elsa. And the consequences of that separation became worse as the years went by. Of course, Anna didn't really remember. She had her memory taken away. So she didn't remember why Elsa had become separate. And as the years went by, I guess, you know, that sort of deepened within her. She thought, well, why is my sister just keeping herself to herself? And that distance became entrenched over the years. And I guess Anna didn't know why Elsa was afraid to use her powers. And of course, Anna was wanting to get back to Elsa. But that separation and that broken relationships, even in our own lives, can run deep. And I guess we've all had relationships in the past with parents or siblings or friends. And they can bring great joy through love, or great pain through fear and the things that may cause us to not love each other, and indeed perhaps even hate people. And I wonder if you've ever become distant with anyone over the years, maybe even a relative, and perhaps you've even forgotten why you've become distant, why you've become separate. That might have been so distant in the past, you forget. And there's times when I think, well, you can see two people and they don't even know why they've become separated. They don't even know why they don't like each other. Or sometimes, you know, that reason why you are separated from someone is still very recent, still very raw, still very at the front of your mind, and it can become uncomfortable. And something that's remained hidden and unresolved for many years can still be a great force of evil in our lives, even now. And let's watch another bit of the film. So I'm not going to let you watch the serenading of Hans and Anna as they discover how they're sort of two peas in a pod and wonderful for each other and love at first sight. But you can see a little glimpse of the joy that the two sisters had there. And yet Anna, that's when Elsa had become queen and they were sort of having a party to celebrate as she's come of age and that the two sisters are now young women. But that little glimpse of the joy that the two sisters had, it's almost like a memory, perhaps of their childhood, where we saw them playing together. And yet Elsa turned away, still fearful that her ice powers could cause damage and pain and fear in her sister's life, in the lives that of those that she loved. So that relationship which should have brought love and strength and joy, still remained distant. And of course, when we lose a relationship that can bring us strength and joy, and in the Christian context, I believe that's with God, when we lose that intimacy with God, sometimes we can look for that intimacy and that joy, even strength, in someone else. And of course, Anna meets this nice young man, Prince Hans of the Seven Kingdoms, Seven Isles, and sort of almost like just sort of grabs him, she is grabbed, and falls in love with a man that she hardly knows, maybe to replace that intimacy with her sister that she's lost for a reason she doesn't really know. So, I'm going to miss out the bit where they have a sort of they dance together and realize that they're madly in love with each other, even though they've just met the previous day. And let's see what happens next. And through love, as they were children, I guess because she became ashamed of it and fearful of her power, that sort of fear came to fruition in that scene where she sort of used it to defend herself. And now, I guess because it run deep and entrenched, it now cursed the land. And I thought, you know, if something bad inside of us through a broken relationship or whatever is left to fester and is not dealt with, it can actually become really powerful in a negative way in our lives and in the lives of others. And of course, in the film there, that the iciness sort of spread throughout the land and it set off an eternal winter. And even that relationship, which even within a relationship, you know, what can separate us can be, if it's left unhealed, can really cause us pain and those things which are not good. And even something that should have first brought us joy and life, if it's used badly and for the wrong motives, can cause us pain. And if we take something to the extreme, sometimes that can cause us pain and addiction even, and things that may bring devastation to those around us. Right back in the Garden of Eden, you know, something happened which separated God and humanity. And perhaps the worst thing is that we knew about it anyway, but we went ahead and disobeyed God. You know, we chose to go against God, to go our own way, to make a choice which meant separation from God, that meant death, which brought more separation and hurt and fear. And in the film there, we just sort of saw Elsa run off to be by herself. And I guess you know, she, I mean, it doesn't, obviously it's frozen, so it doesn't go into much character development or depth. But I guess she was feeling separated, hurt, fearful. She didn't have much hope, and she didn't really know what she could do about it. She couldn't control her ice powers through love, but because it'd been replaced by fear and despair, her sort of ice powers became uncontrollable and used for bad things, not good things. So things that were meant for good, if we can't control them, can often mean they end up causing hurt and bad things to happen. And that can be a slippery slope. You know, little things can quite easily make big things. And I can remember even last year in September, you know, something, a little thing that I was actually, I'll tell you, I got a bad mark in an essay. It really sort of hit me, and I got a bit disappointed. You know, it was much lower than all my other marks, and I allowed myself to be really affected by it. And I thought, oh, I'm not very good. You know, I just gone up to the second year in my degree, and got this bad mark. And I thought, I just lost confidence in my ability. I mean, I was getting good marks apart from that, but that one bad mark on an essay that I got really made me doubt myself. And I pretty much spent the whole term lacking confidence in myself, feeling that I wasn't very good at writing essays. I got a bit lethargic, I lost motivation, and I couldn't really be bothered. Just about that one little thing, but because I let it fester and grow within me, it really became a bad thing in my life. And I guess I just sort of lost the sense of who I was, you know, the person that God had made me to be. I was allowing negativity to control who I was. And the gifts that God had given me for the good weren't really being used for the good. I was allowing myself to be sort of drawn down, neglecting the gifts that God had given me. And there's a guy in Psalm 73 in the Bible that was getting envious of people, and he was letting that really affect him. Until it says that he went to the sanctuary of God, he went into God's presence, and then he realized that it was stupid what he was thinking, and he allowed God to heal him and restore him into the person that God had intended him to be the person of confidence in who he was. And thankfully, after Christmas, you know, I just was reminded that, you know, I'm not that person that's into negativity and a lethargy, but you know, that vicious circle that I got myself in, you know, I allowed God to heal me of that and just to break it. And now I'm back on track, and that's great. And I couldn't show you Frozen without showing you the main Oscar-winning theme tune, Let It Go. And some of you will be disappointed. I will not be dancing to this. Except if I had my little girl here, I might have danced with her. But normally, the dance moves that I would have been doing are the ice moves, okay? The ice moves, where Elsa does the ice moves and does her powers. That's all I'm going to let you loose on for me. So we're going to see Let It Go. But this is almost like she's become separate from herself, and she sort of lets herself go. So let's see Elsa letting herself go. Well, I had to resist getting up there and do my ice moves, you'll be thankful for. But so some telling words there. Conceal, don't feel. And she almost like was relishing her isolation, relishing the fact that she had made the decision to be on her own and to do what she wanted, you know, and about thinking about not crying, things like that. But, you know, I think she'd sort of resigned herself to be the woman she wanted to be, but in a sort of negative way. And rather than being set free from the fear and the pain and the broken relationships that she could have been in being reconciled to her sister, she sort of relished the fact that she was alone and could do what she wanted and be the person that she wanted to be. And of course, that's good in some senses, but not in others. But I'm not going to get into Elsa too much. So, but I think drawing it back to the Bible, you know, the bad things that we do, the sin that we end up doing, you know, it can sort of draw us away from God and help us to forget the life that God meant for us, the life that had been stolen from us, the good that was destroyed, and the image of God within us could grow dim and even ignored. But of course, in the gospel, Jesus wants to restore that right image of who we were made to be, not being held back by the past, but alive to the possibilities of the future with God, who created us and is able and willing to guide us and show us how to live our lives in all of its fullness. So in reconciling us to himself, God not only helps us to become our true selves, but also draws us into a community, the community of the church, which of course is a reflection of the community of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's the difference, I think, between Elsa, who sort of isolates herself to enjoy who she really is, and what the gospel says, that in becoming alive and free from our past to be who God made us to be, it draws us into the community, draws us together, not only to God, but to other people. Let's watch a bit more of the film. Even though Anna has travelled up to the North Mountain, she still can't convince her sister to come down. You know, just those phrases like, you know, there's so much fear, I can't control what is within me, I never knew what I was capable of, I'm alone where I can be who I am without hurting anybody. But it's almost like fear is controlling her, and the things that sometimes are inside of us can prevent us from reconciling ourselves to those whom we love. We can be held hostage to our past and to a wrong image of who we are. But of course, Jesus died and rose again so that we can put to death all those things which did cause pain and death and unforgiveness. It says in Romans that you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God can save us from all those things which separate us from God or from other people. And, of course, the ice bolt now, rather than just hitting her head, has now hit her heart, which is much more serious, apparently. So she's going to freeze to death, basically, unless she experiences an act of true love, she's going to freeze to death. In the meantime, Elsa is captured, and let's see the next bit of the film where we discover the real Hans. Charming is actually a Prince Charming. So Hans shows his real side. He's the deceiver. So maybe what we thought would save us actually doesn't. And I guess we can look for answers in our own lives or even in the lives of others. But the gospel says that only in Jesus can we be saved. Only in Jesus can we be truly restored and reconciled to each other and to God. So for those who haven't watched the film, there's just another 3 or 4 minutes left of the film. So I'm just going to show you the finale, and then we're finished. So the sacrifice of one who died but was brought back to life, and the fact that love conquered all, is a message we can all hopefully believe in. And just to remember, I think, you know, we're powerless to save ourselves, but we need Jesus to save us and to be the one who reconciles us to himself, to God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Oh, and Anna and Christoph do get together at the end.